See, it began there with Amnon had a crush on his sister, which was Absalom's sister. And he went in and he raped her. And then it made Absalom mad, and so Absalom went and killed Amnon. So that's two children he's put in the ground and one daughter that's been raped. And then we go on, Absalom. Imagine this now. This is his kids. Absalom then has to flee. And he leaves, and he pretty much just runs away. And then we go on and flip over a few pages to chapter number 18. And we see that Joab, they're on Absalom's trail, because in chapter number 17, Absalom stood at the gate and Absalom stole the heart of Israel. And he turned Israel against David, and David had to flee then, Jerusalem. And Absalom took over as king there, sort of, we'll say that. And he pretty much just run his daddy out. And we notice then that Joab, as Absalom was riding through the forest there, we know the story of how he got caught in the oak tree there by his hair, by his locks. And he was hanging there alive, so Joab took three javelins and pierced his heart, three darts, and threw it through the heart of Absalom. So that's three children that David has lost. And listen to the words, the last words in chapter number 18 of what David had to say. And this is where David's at when he writes Psalm 61. The king heard about his son, heard about Joab killing him. And he said this in verse 33, "And the king was much moved." It's interesting words. He was much moved. In other words, he was broken. In other words, he was crushed. And can you understand why? Could you even imagine what this man just went through? I couldn't fathom it. There's no way. I've never had anything. We always talk about Job's day, but David, I'm going to tell you something. David, if you read the life of David, you'll study David's life. David faced a lot of mountains, and he faced a lot of valleys. He said this, he went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." And let's flip over now to our text in chapter number 61 of Psalms. And this is the psalm that was penned in this time here. It says this, David says, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows, and thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations, and he shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." I'm interested in that very familiar phrase there in verse number 2. The Bible says, "When my heart is overwhelmed." And I want to preach on this thought tonight. I've had all I can take. And I believe that's, if we had to translate that into some southern vernacular, we would say that that's exactly what he was saying and what he was praying to the Lord. Psalm 61 is nothing less than a prayer, crying out to God. And he's crying out here to the Lord God, the only one that can help the matter, the only one that can fix the situation. And he's saying, Lord, I've had all I can take. He's saying, Lord, my plate is full. He's saying, Lord, my wagon is loaded. I can't take any more. And we'll find ourselves from time to time in such a situation. We'll find ourselves in a place many times in life, if we're able to live long enough, that we get so overwhelmed and so filled up with things of this life and tragedies and troubles and problems that we get to the place to where we are literally about to break, and we feel like we've got a big load on our backs and we have to carry it around. It seems like if one more thing happens, anybody ever said that? If one more thing happens to me, I'm going to break. And we find ourselves like that way from time to time. And I believe that Psalm 61, as I look back in my life and I see the times that I've been in this particular place, and I've turned to this psalm here for help, and I've turned to it and tried to resort to it and move into this psalm and sit down in it for a little while just to see how God would minister to me and how He would help me. This is a psalm that'll help you in that time. And listen to me, my friend. I don't know who it's for. I don't know what you're going through, what you're facing. I don't know what kind of trouble you're in. But I think about in the prayer room all the many prayer requests that's made and the many problems that people are facing. I think about Sister Sandra as she's now with her husband. Maybe in that ambulance or at the hospital. That's a difficult time to face. I think about Brother Vince, how that he's dealing with this situation in his life, has lost vision in one eye. And I think about the troubles that many people face. There's people with problems with their children tonight. There's people that's facing problems with their marriage tonight. There's people facing problems with their job tonight. There's people facing problems with their money and with family and all kinds of situations. And these things happen and they begin to accumulate and they begin to rise up in our lives and they get big, real quick. And sometimes it's more than we can bear. Sometimes we get to the place to where we literally break down. I don't care if you are a man. I don't care if you've got a beard on. I don't care how burly you are. There's times when you'll find your place. You may be too good to cry in front of your wife or your children, but I'll promise you there've been some men in here, listen to me, that's always tough and always proud. But there's been a time, if you've been in this long enough, that you found you a corner somewhere, or you've got behind a closed door, and you've buckled down to your knees and cried out to a holy God and asked Him for help and asked Him for something in a time of need. Am I right about it? Ain't you glad there's a God tonight that loves us and cares enough for us that He's given us such a psalm as this? Lord, I've had all I can take. I've had all I can take. Notice, let's look into this psalm. Let's dive in it here tonight and let's look at it. First of all, we see that there's a fervent cry that's mentioned. Notice in verse number 1, he says, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer." I see in this fervent cry that it is a personal cry. It is a cry that is very personal. David is saying, "Hear my prayer." Listen to me. There's times when you get this way. You get to the place to where you've got to pray for yourself. I love to pray for other people before I ever pray for anybody else in my prayer closet, in my daily prayer. I try to call everybody's name out before I call myself out. But there's times in my life to where I've gotten so broken and I've gotten so crippled in the faith that I've had to cry out, "God, my, it's me, Lord. I need some help tonight. I need your strength tonight. I need you to minister to me, Lord, and I need you to help me." And David had gotten to the place with 3 kids in the ground and one that had been raped and turmoil literally blowing up in his life. He'd gotten to the place to where he had had all he could take.
take. And he said, Lord, I need some help. I need you to minister to me, and I need you to help me. That's a personal cry. But also this fervent cry, I believe it is a powerful cry. David is not just rehearsing some, now I lay me down to sleep prayer. He's not just rehearsing some meal prayer, praying over his vegetables. He's not just praying at the table. He's not just kneeling in a prayer room with a bunch of men. But he's gotten to the place to where he is tuned into God. He's focused on God. He says, hear my prayer. Oh, God. Oh, listen to me. When you get to the place to where you don't know what to pray, when you get to the place to where you understand that you've got to have some prayer. When you understand that you've got to have God. Oh, listen, you'll say, oh, God, I need you tonight. I caught myself over there. I thought about it while I was praying a while ago for Sister Sandra and her husband. I caught myself saying, oh, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what they need. I don't know how to pray for them. But, oh, God, Elohim, He knows He is God Almighty. He is the one that can fix it all. He is the one that has all the answers. Bless His name. He's the one that can come in and walk on your troubled waters. He's the one that can calm the stormy seas. He's the one that's the lily of the valley. He's the one that's the bright and morning star. He's the beloved one. He is wonderful tonight. And He is the shepherd of the sheep. I bless His name that I serve a God who's able to deliver out of the fire. Ain't you glad tonight? Ain't God good to us? He said, oh God. He didn't say, Mama, pray for me. He didn't say, Daddy, pray for me. He didn't say, Church, pray for me. He didn't say, Men, I need your prayer request. He didn't get on Facebook and say, if y'all would pray. But he said, oh, God. Oh, listen to me. There's something built into you. Whenever you get in trouble, if you're saved, there's a Holy Ghost living inside of you that knows exactly what you need. Oh, it's not a brother. It's not a sister. It's not a mama or a daddy. But what you need is, oh, God. And He can help you. Amen. It's a personal cry. And it's a powerful cry. But I notice also it's a persistent cry. Notice with me. He said, attend unto my prayer. Do you see that? He said, attend, Lord. He said, attend unto my prayer. He said, Lord, listen is what this word means. It means to hear me. He's telling the Lord, I need you to listen to me tonight. Lord, oh God, listen to me if you would. Hear my prayer. Attend unto it, Lord. Oh God, I need you bad tonight. It's persistent from the ends of the earth. He says, will I cry unto thee? He said, I'm going to cry to you until you hear me. I'm going to cry your name out until you answer me, until you come to where I am and help me in my trouble. Notice it is a fervent cry. But also I notice not only in this text here in verse number 2, we also see a familiar condition. We see a fervent cry in verse number 1, but in verse number 2 there's a familiar condition that you and I can relate to. Listen to me, we've been through some things. You have. Somebody has been through more than others, it seems like. But everybody's been through the meal from time to time. Everybody's faced the mountain from time to time. Everybody's faced the valley from time to time. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just hang in this thing long enough and you'll know what I'm talking about. Listen to me, I'm telling you, it's a familiar condition. Notice with me in verse number 2, he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. He said, I'm overwhelmed. He said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. He said, my heart is overwhelmed. I believe David's heart was heavy. Amen. I believe that David's heart was heavy in that he felt alone. I believe David had gotten to the place to where his kids were gone. We know his wife has mocked him. We know that all kinds of things has happened in his life. We could go over, but David is in a place all alone, it feels like. I wonder tonight, has anybody ever been to the place to where it felt like nobody could help you? Listen, maybe it's like the woman with the issue of blood. She tried everything, but yet 12 years she'd had the issue of blood. And you and I are the same way. We'll try everything and we'll go to everybody. But this is a place to where he felt alone. His heart was heavy. His heart was in a place to where he didn't have anybody. Anybody ever been to the place to where you didn't feel like you had a soul to help you? Where it didn't feel like you could tell anybody what you're going through? They are some things that you go through. There's some things that you face in life that you just can't broadcast on Facebook or Instagram. There's some things that you can't tell all the people of the church. There's some things that you can't just tell everybody. There's some things you can't tell your family. Oh, listen to me, but there is one, amen. There's one that knows our end from our beginning. There's one that knows who I am. Amen. Psalms 103 says He remembers our frame. Amen. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're but dust. He knows all about me from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. He knows everything that's ever happened and ever will happen. And I'm glad that He's there always for me. He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. What a mighty God we serve. Ain't you glad tonight that we serve a God who knows when our heart gets heavy? Not only a heavy heart in feeling alone, but remember where we're at here in 2 Samuel. His story, I believe also his heart was hurting. Not only was his heart heavy, but I believe his heart was hurting. I believe David, now we got to get in his mindset. We got to get, David was, he was the king of Israel. He's the one, no doubt, that the throne that Jesus is going to sit on in glory, that throne is the throne of David. And he was a great man, no doubt. He's somebody to talk about. Oh, but listen to me, I'm telling you, he wasn't nothing but human, just like you and me. He made mistakes, and he doubted from time to time. I can show you in the Bible, from time to time. He doubted God, even himself. But yet, here he's at a place to where his heart, I believe, is broken, slapping to. It's broken into pieces because he's lost some of the love of his life. He's lost those children. And I believe he had a special heart for Absalom. I believe he wanted me to take the throne from him one day. Oh, listen to me, my friend. You'll get to the place in your life to where you feel like there's no hope. There's no hope at all. You'll get to the lowest point in your life. And some of you's been there before. To where you're just broken down to pieces. And you feel like there's no sense in going on. But I got news for you. If there is sense in going on, because God loves you. And God cares for you. And He's there for you. And He'll help you. And He'll see you through what you're facing. He has every time a heavy heart and a hurting heart. He felt alone and he felt as there was no hope. But I believe also David had a humble heart. Notice with me there. Notice with me. He said, lead me. Lead me. You know, when you get to the place to where your heart is so heavy, when it's so broken down, when your wagon is loaded so much, and you get to the place to where you feel so all alone. And you get to the place to where that your heart is hurting so bad. Your inner man is hurting so bad. It'll humble you down. It'll break you down to your knees. I've seen grown, I'm telling you, I'm thinking of something right now. I can't share no names. But I remember a man, he's one of the burliest men I've ever seen. I was at the church I used to pastor, and we was walking up the sidewalk. I'm talking about a man's man. You grab his hand, and you thought you had he had 80 grit sandpaper gloves on. He was a man. He worked for a living. But we was walking up that sidewalk, and he said, "Preacher, I need some prayer. I need some help. And his knees literally buckled under him. And I caught him right there. It's what the old man. This was a man that was in his 50s. He was there. And he buckled on that sidewalk right there in front of everybody. And he started weeping and crying out to God. I'm telling you tonight, there's a time in your life to where you'll be humbled and you need somebody to lead you. And David said, lead me. I need something to lead me to the rock that's higher than I. He can help you. Oh, humble heart. Anybody ever been to the place to where you've been so broken and you've been so burdened and you needed somebody to point you in the right direction? You needed somebody to help. Anybody ever been to the place to where you didn't know what to do? Am I talking to anybody tonight? Anybody ever been in such a low situation that you didn't know what to do? You was facing something tomorrow. I heard Brother David talking about going and getting them kidney stones taken out tomorrow. And he's facing that. But I think about some folks as they go into the hospital, as they go into this place or that place, and it's weighing on their mind. Oh, listen to me. You can get to the place to where you need somebody to lead you to the rock that's higher than you. So we see now in these first two verses that David is, to say the less, in a predicament. Am I right? David is in a place to where I found myself before. And guess what? I'm still up here. Ain't that something? Guess what? I've found myself, I'm telling you, if there's anything lower than some of the places I've been, some of the times in my life, if there's any place lower than the ground, the rock bottom dirt that I've laid on, I don't want to see it. But you and I, both, all of us that's on this Wednesday night crowd, have seen the bottom probably at one time or another. You might say, well, David brought all this stuff on himself. You may say, well, David sinned with Bathsheba. His sin in killing Uriah, he brought all this on himself. And you may be spiritual enough to say it got what he deserved. But I got news for you. You've done a lot and you've brought some stuff on yourself. Amen. I'm going to preach that to you tonight. Everybody in the room has done something dumb at one time or another. Am I right? Can I get a witness right there? Everybody's done something crazy from time to time. And every trial is not because you've done something wrong. Sometimes there's trials and sometimes there's trouble just to strengthen the inner man. Listen, David was in a predicament. But now let's look how David got out of this. We in the hole, it'd be sad to just leave it right there, wouldn't it? Notice with me. I'm glad it don't end in verse number 2. Watch this prayer. I'm thankful for the good Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to think a little bit. I want you to think back to some trials that you've went through, some troubles that you've faced in your life, and I want you to remember going into your prayer closet or wherever you was at when you got the phone call, or wherever you might have been at the hospital, or wherever it might have been, and you literally broke down to your knees, and you fell on your face before a thrice holy God, and you cried out, oh God, I'm broken. Lord, I don't know what to do. Would you lead me? I don't know how to handle this. I don't have the strength. I cannot face this alone. Lord, I need you. I want you to remember some things here. Listen to me. When you prayed, when you've really got in your prayer closet and prayed and got a hope to God, I want to ask you, have you ever felt God move in that prayer and lift you out of that? May just be for a little bit. May just be for a short, brief time. Or he may totally deliver you from it. But I'm telling you, I've been in that prayer closet before, Brother Tim, and I've called on God, and I went in that prayer closet, and I was beat and broke, and tore all to pieces. But bless God, but about halfway through that prayer, the Holy Ghost come in, and he intervened, according to Romans 8:24. Amen. And he intervened. interceded for me with groanings which I could not utter myself. And He told the Father, and He helped me and delivered me just for a little bit. Hallelujah. Ain't that a blessing? Sometimes, listen to me. I was thinking about Brother Gerald. And he's got arthritis down his spine now. And he went the other day and got an epidural in his neck, try to kill some of that pain going down his backbone in that arthritis. But you know that epidural will wear off. You know, every once in a while in your trial, when you face something, God may give you an epidural just to help you for a little while. Just listen, there's some things God won't deliver you from. I got news for you. There's some things that God will just give you the grace to make it through. There's some things that He'll give you grace to face tomorrow. And listen to me, when you lose that loved one, there's nothing that'll ever replace them. There's nothing that'll ever take their place. Oh, but listen to me, I'm glad I've got a God who will be by my side, and He's got grace for every need. Amen. Listen to me. I noticed not only a fervent cry and a familiar condition, but I notice as the Holy Ghost intervenes into this prayer, I see a firm consolation. Notice what your Bible. David begins to pick. Listen, let's read verse number 2 again. We all right? Verse number 2, the Bible says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I." And then we see this firm consolation. He says, "For thou hast been." Did you notice he didn't say, "You are"? Because David wasn't to that place yet in his prayer. You see what I'm saying? David knew that the Lord was his shepherd. But he couldn't spit it out right here. Listen to me, I don't know what kind of hounds of hell was on his shoulder when he was praying this, but I believe David had gotten to the place to where he was rehearsing some things. He said he was facing this and he looked back in his life. He turned around. You know what you need to do? Listen to me. What you need to do is you need to take yourself as you're walking down life's path and you're facing the ugliest thing that you've ever faced in your life. You need to do an about face and look at how good God's been to you and how He's taken care of you in the past. He said that David said, "Thou hast been." Let me ask you this. What's God been to you? I'm 50 years old. Some of you's older than that. Some of you's younger than that. And you've been in this longer than me. And some of you's not been in it as long as I have. But I want to ask you this question tonight. As you have looked back on your Christian life, and you've faced some horrible things, you've faced some things that you would never have dreamed that you could have come through. A million times over, you never could have made it through that. But somehow, and some way, you're right here tonight, and you're listening to the Word of God, and you're still in the faith. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thou hast been. God's been. Amen. Watch your Bible. Not only did he say, "Thou hast been," that's he was remembering his past. Verse number 5, watch this. It says, "For thou, O God, hast heard." You see, verse 3, "Thou hast been." Verse 5, "Thou hast heard." Ain't you glad God's heard you? Listen to me. Don't believe a stinking minute of the devil's lies that God's not listening to you. Listen, you're made holy by the blood of the Lamb. You've been bought with a price. You're a child of God. You belong to Him. And listen, when you call out, "Abba, Father," when you cry out to God, He's a listening. He is a hearing you. Thou hast heard. Amen. Ain't you glad we've got a God? This prayer, we come around this altar tonight. And I'm going to say this. I love Brother Vince. He's a prayer warrior. Brother Lee's a prayer warrior. Miss Sandra's a prayer warrior. And I call their name every night in prayer when I pray. And I pray for them because I believe they see the sincerity. And I know certain. of you in here as I see you, I preach to you, and I watch you, and I know that you know the sincerity of prayer, and I know that you know that it works. You know it. There's nobody that can convince you. They can be 1,000 devils get on your shoulder, and they cannot convince you that God in heaven don't hear your prayers. Listen now. He said, thou hast heard. Thou, O God, hast heard. But let's look on here. Here it is again. Thou, in the same verse, thou hast given. Ain't that something? Well, so we went from thou hast been, verse 3. Thou hast heard, verse 5. And thou hast given. Let me tell you something. God is a God. He is there for you. He's been there for you. He is a God that has heard you. And He's a God that's given grace. And He's a God that's going to see you through everything. Amen. He's going to walk us all the way to the finish line. And He's going to carry us out of this world and see us home to glory one of these days. Ain't it a blessing thou hast given? Ain't it a blessing that God is a giving God? You know why we give to Him? Same reason that we love Him. Because He first loved us. You know why I want to give to Him? Because He's given to me. And He's given to me. And He's given to me. I can't tell you what all He's given me. And I'm not talking about monetarily things. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about, good Lord, have mercy. He's given me so much. He's blessed me with His grace. He has blessed me with His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. The psalmist said, it's fresh and new every morning. As Jeremiah said, ain't you glad that God's a giving God and His bounty never runs dry? Ain't you glad He gives to us what we need? What if God quit giving? What if He was like us? I got two daughters and Lily's over in college, and it's always this right here. And you know, Chloe's finna get married, and it's gonna be this. You know, it's something all the time. But you know, there's just so much I can give. That's all there is to it. Brother Shane, there's just so much I've got. But I got a God that He'll never be able to say that. He'll never be able to say, I can't give anymore. He'll never be able to say, I run out. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll never be able to say that. Amen. I'm glad I've got a God that has an endless storehouse. And He can give us all the grace. And He can give us all the mercy that we will call upon His name and ask for. Ain't that a blessing? When He remembered His past, things began to pick up, didn't it? I'm going to show you that. He remembered His past. Verse 4. He resorted to Him in His presence. He said, I will abide. He said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't have a clue right now, Lord. He said, but I'm going to abide. He said, I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. You know, whenever you get to the lowest point, if you ain't here, you will get there. Listen to it. When you get to that lowest point, you know the best place you can be is wherever God might be. Yeah, man? What if on Wednesday night, September the 20th, 2023, He had backed up His wagon load of grace on the outside here, and He had it sovereignly planned for you, and you was not here tonight? There may be somebody that's facing a mountain and facing a trial that missed their blessing tonight. Because they just wasn't faithful. But David said, I will abide in Thy tabernacle. I'm going to stay where God's at. Amen. Listen, I've blundered and messed up. I've been to the place to where I didn't have no hope. I've been to the place to where my heart's been overwhelmed. I've been to the place, I'm telling you, and you have too. And I've learned the best place you can be is wherever God might be. He might be down at the church house. He might be in your prayer closet. He might be in the Word of God. So get there, and see what He can do for you. And He'll deliver you from your trouble. He remembered His past. He resorted to Him in His presence. As a firm consolation, verse 3. But lastly, I notice a cheerful
finish. You say, preacher, David has lost 3 kids. His third son tried to take the kingdom, turned the people against him. And now you're going to tell me that there's a cheerful finish to this? There absolutely is. Wherever you at, I wonder which point you're on tonight in your life. I wonder which one of these 4 points. Because one of these points, more than likely, you're at it. But I've been to the place, I've been to point one, that fervent cry. I've been to that familiar condition that we're all familiar with. I've been to that firm consolation where I had to look back. But also, I have experienced a cheerful finish. And I noticed verse number 6. Look at it. David is sort of cheering up. He said, thou wilt prolong the king's life. He said, and his years as many generations. Can you see the exuberance in his voice? He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. And watch this. He's about to break out singing. He's done lost 3 kids and everything in his world is turned upside down and this man's about to sing. You ever been to the place to where you come out of a trial, tears running down your face, and you had that old sticky stuff stuck to your face, and you begin to cry, and you begin to sing. You begin to worship the Lord God Almighty because He overwhelmed you with so much peace, all you could do was praise Him. You ever been there? You ever been to that place? The Bible says this, So will I sing praise unto thy name forever that I may daily perform my vows. I'm glad that what I face tonight, what you face tonight, whatever you're going through, and you know, we live in a crazy world. Is that song they sung tonight, that quartet sung, they're just waiting on the call. You know what you and I are doing, whether you realize it or not? All I'm doing here, I'm waiting on the call. Whether it's the call to the grave or whether it's the call to glory in the rapture, I'm waiting on the call. And we're real close. I ain't sure what we're going to have to face before Jesus comes back. It could be dreary or He could come tonight and we not face a whole lot. But He is coming back and He's coming back soon. It won't be very long until you see a lot of people come to the doors of this church and there ain't going to be nobody here on Sunday morning. There's going to be several missing. There's going to be no preacher to preach. And there's going to be a few coming here and it's going to be vacant. You mark my words according to the Word of God. We're going home one of these days. And I believe it's soon. I've been thinking lately. I was thinking about it while I was studying this other night. You know, there's some that's went on before me. I can't wait to see. I never did get to know Daddy's Daddy real good. I wasn't but a little boy when he passed, 82 or 83, something like that. And my grandmother Thornton, I can remember her, Miss Sarah, y'all remember Miss Sarah. If there's ever been a God, I've got loved ones. I've got loved ones that's up there. You've got loved ones that's up there. And you know what? In just a little bit, the call's gonna come. Hey man, ain't that a blessing? The call is gonna come and we're gonna be raptured out of here and we're going to glory. And I'm glad that He's coming. I wish He'd come tonight. I bless you. Ain't you glad that when our heart gets overwhelmed, that when we get our plate full, when our wagon's loaded, when we've all we can take, there's a God in heaven that's there to help us and see us through each and every day. Ain't you glad of that? Amen. All righty. Appreciate the Lord.